Welcome to episode 371 of the Tech Webcast podcast, recorded on 26th of March 2016. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at 12 p.m. Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iPhone and Android app. Today, our hosts Brad, Daryl, Jacob, Steve are joined by Vin Brown, Paul Kerry, and myself, Ben Aylett, to talk about some Apple news and all the other fun stuff that's been happening this week.
If you like new stuff before anybody else, if you like to keep your finger on the pulse, if you like the future and want to be in it, keep on listening because we'll start in a minute. Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech, 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 tech webcast. Let's go!
Hello, Brad.
Hello, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm good, good, good. Yep, no, can't complain. And on a lovely great Easter intro. Saturday morning here or
indeed,
afternoon.
Indeed, happy Easter,
happy
Daryl.
Easter, yeah, thank you, Brad. Happy Easter to all our listeners out there.
Indeed, yes, indeed. And thanks to Ben for doing the intro.
Great intro.
Pleasure. Happy
no
guys.
Problem, mate. Good to have you on the show, Ben.
Yeah, good to be on again. I actually look forward to coming on as often as possible.
Yeah, definitely, mate. Definitely, good to have the what's the word? Enthusiasm.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, there you go. Should I say? Amusing, was it?
Yeah, that's it. So, how's your week been, Daryl? Anything happened during the week, mate?
Yeah, busy week. We had some issues. I was saying to Jacob pre-show, we had some issues at work. We had a power failure here in Mansfield early on Tuesday, which blew up our backup power supply system to the server and. Our phone network went down, so for 2 days we didn't have landline telephones into the office. And so she's been fun and games, but the server's running again and the telephone system's up again, so just in time for the Easter holidays.
All right, good stuff, mate. Let's go to Steve. How's your week been, Steve? Welcome back, mate.
Hey, how you doing? It's been pretty quiet. Though today I had some problems with Wirecast, it wouldn't allow me to import any video because I do weekly videos on my show. And unfortunately, I think I did a system update, I think affected Wirecast, so I may have to revert to an older version.
Okay. Interesting. All right. We'll have you get that sorted out, mate.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Cool. Good stuff, Steve. Let's go to Vincent Brown. Welcome, Vincent. How's your week been, mate? And good to have you on the show and back. Again.
G'day, Brad. G'day, everyone. Yeah, it's good to be here. It's been a while.
It has.
Yeah, my week's been fantastic. It's just been such great weather here in Adelaide. We've had a week of, like, I don't know, mid to high 20s. Just a little bit of rain. It's just, you know, nice. Perfect time of year. Love it.
Yeah, same. I love that. So, you looking forward to winter?
I am actually, yeah, but I'm enjoying the sun while it's here to get some gardening done, some house renovations I've been putting off, but
I'm
getting done now. The winter will set in, and I'll have another reason to procrastinate some more.
Yeah, right. Okay. Do you want to mention what you do, real quick, Vincent, for listeners? What you do?
Sure. Yeah, I do web development, social media promotion, and training. And work with clients all over the world, but mainly small businesses here in Australia.
Nice one. Where can they get hold of you if they want to contact you in any way?
Vintuitive.com or anywhere else as that name. That's just
all right.
The word, just like intuitive, but with a V on the beginning.
Good stuff, mate.
And that's where you find me everywhere.
Good stuff, mate. All right, let's go to Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Oh, thanks very much.
How's your week been, mate?
Sorry. Yeah, my week's been pretty good. It's been playing with Raspberry Pi Model 3. That's been a lot of fun. We've also had a big week as far as augmented reality goes. So if you've been following Robert Scoble, you'll know that it's all over the place and it's just happening. Definitely. Even just today, I saw the TED Talk had been dropped about the Microsoft augmented reality presentation. Amazing stuff. So, yeah, a lot of fun. And, of course, been catching up with the Apple news and all the other tech stuff that's been going on.
I really enjoyed the Apple event on Tuesday. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got a few thoughts we could probably share about that little later on in the show.
Sure, mate.
But yeah, it's
can't wait to hear it.
It's interesting. I think there's a change.
Yep, definitely. And Ben, what do you do for the people who don't know what you do?
All right. I'm an IT consultant. I've been doing it for about 21 years now. So basically, I run around all over the place, fix technology for people in all sorts of situations and measures of disaster. I also help people develop policies and basically make technology do what it should for them. I'm also a regular technology expert at Radio 6PR, part of the Fairfax Network.
Oh, nice one. Good on you.
Thank you.
Well done. Good on you. All right, we'll come back to Ben very short. Let's go to Jacob. How's your week been, mate?
You could say it's okay, but had a hailstorm last night. Really shook things up.
Really?
Yeah. My weather radio even died.
That's not good.
Well, not died. The batteries in it died, so it was supposed to send out a signal. Whenever there was an alert, they're supposed to send out a signal.
Okay.
I couldn't get through because everybody's towers got knocked down.
Interesting. All right, Jacob. So, and what do you do, Jacob, during the week? How's your week been, mate? And what do you do? Tell people what you do. They don't know who you are.
I'm just a co-hoster.
Okay.
For Tech Webcast.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, mate. Let's go to Paul. Welcome, Paul.
Hey, Brad. How you going? Hang it's on, been
mate.
A while.
Long time. No chat, mate.
Yeah. Well, no chat on Tech Webcast, I mean. We have been chatting outside that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's right. The podcast. And good to have you on, mate. How's your week been? And did you catch the Apple event?
I watched most of it. So I got bits and pieces out of the Apple event. Week's been all right. Essentially, it's been really weird weather up here in Brisbane. It's been pretty much hot and rainy and stormy. And that's pretty much all it's been all week.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Sounds fun, mate. All right, let's go into the news, and then we'll come back and have a chat about the Apple event real quick. The news, Daryl, let's go to the news real quick, mate.
No worries.
Go.
And here's some news items. Apple shares new The Kiss ad feature, Apple TV Siri integration, and this is from Mac Rumors. Apple today shared a new Apple TV ad that focuses on the Siri feature built into the set-top box entitled The Kiss. The one-minute ad stars Alison Brie and Nicolaj Coster-Waldau, and I've probably messed up the pronunciation of that. In the spot, the two actors are attempting to replicate an on-screen kiss using Siri to rewind a specific movie scene on the fourth generation Apple TV, asking Siri questions like, "What did she say?" or "Rewind 10 seconds," will automatically replay a scene from television shows or movies. Siri content search features are also shown off, demonstrating the ability to find television shows or play songs from Apple Music. And if you want, in the show notes, there is a link also to that video so you can actually look at it yourself. Xbox brings system updates, is rolling out the ability to purchase Xbox 360 games on Xbox One, 16 party chat and more. And this is from Game Zone. And it goes on to the Xbox One. Let me just increase the size here as this is really small. Microsoft has been teasing the Xbox One March updates since the month began, and it's finally releasing on the Xbox One and Xbox apps today. The Xbox One update will bring the following new features to the Xbox One, and it's got a list of, you know, from purchase Xbox 360 backwards compatible games on Xbox One, so that's really interesting. Include party chat in Twitch broadcast, output your party chat to headset and speakers simultaneously, customizable game DVR recording lengths, and there's several other ones that I won't go into for time purposes, but looks like a good list. Preview members have also access to the majority of the new features, but there are a couple of features that will be new to preview members in the update. So it looks like a big update to Xbox One. And finally, Google is building YouTube Connect, a live streaming app to take on Periscope. And this is from VentureBeat. Google has quietly been building a new live streaming app called YouTube Connect, VentureBeat has learned. The service highlights the company's efforts to double down on live video while also placing it in a position to compete directly against Twitter's Periscope and Facebook's Live. Oh, they haven't mentioned Meerkat. That's a bit sad. YouTube Connect will be available on both iOS and Android devices. Google did not immediately respond to for comment. YouTube Connect has much of the same functionality that you'd already find with Periscope and Facebook Live, according to a source close to the matter. You can log into the app using your Google or YouTube account and immediately begin streaming from your mobile phone. There are chat and tagging features and a news feed that features the latest clips from your friends or those that you've subscribed to on YouTube. And that was from VentureBeat. And that is the news stories.
Bro, good stuff. Darryl, what's your view on that, mate, and any of them stories?
Google, we actually were having a bit of a chat at this sort of pre-show as well. Google's, if this is true, if VentureBeat have got it right and it's not just a rumour, my thing on that is that maybe Google are late to the party. Several years ago they had YouTube Live, and I remember listening to Vic Gundotra, who was then the head honcho at Google Plus, and people were asking, you know, when is Live going to be available as a mobile app? And this was before Periscope and Meerkat and Facebook Live were even thought about. And Gundotra at the time was very hesitant and said, oh, we've got issues with copyright that people might broadcast concerts. He didn't really sound very enthusiastic about it all. And so that was several years ago, because he's been gone from the company a while now. And it's only now that they're starting to, if they're starting to build it, I think they've left it too late. I think, you know, Periscope's out there, even Meerkat, Facebook have got the jump on them with Facebook Live. So unless they can do something startling to sort of pull people away from that, I think they might have left their run a bit late. Xbox One looks like it's, the system update sounds like it's good, and particularly for you Xbox One users, you can buy 360 games, which I think is really good. Apple's ad, well, it's an ad for, you know, their Apple TV, but it looks like they're putting in, you know, they've got, you know, more commands that you can use, voice commands in Apple TV, and that's always a good thing. So go and have a look at the ad. It's
great
on,
ad, by the way. Great ad, yeah.
Yeah, it's there. Yep, it's there on the Mac Rumors website. So yeah. Just click through when you see it and have a play of the ad.
Apple do great promoting of ads for products, don't they, I reckon?
Yeah, they've personally certainly got a good marketing team. You know, they certainly do control the marketing, and they've certainly got a good marketing team out there, you know, a very professional marketing team. So, yep, that's great.
Let's go to Vincent. Vincent, what's your view on them stories, mate, real quick?
Well, you know, don't have much of a view on the Xbox One. The Siri one, I thought all of those commands that they showed in that advert, I thought Apple TV already had all that, but so I'm not. I'm just a bit unclear on what's new and what's not.
That's for the Apple TV 4 with the Siri and stuff, and that's
a yeah.
Point of the ad is, but you know,
yeah, that's sometimes the case with Apple ads. As great as they are. So.
It may be just to tell people who are still hanging on to their older Apple TVs, hey, you can do this Apple TV 4. Yeah, Don't forget it. You can do this. So they're probably just reminding people that time to upgrade, point. People.
But the other story, I think, I think Daryl hit it on the head there as we were talking about pre-show, which is probably not a good idea. the idea that Google's a bit late to the game. Of course, Brad, you've heard from me so yep. often saying Google Hangouts on Air, which is their version of live broadcasting. They just never got it together to have that on mobile, and for some whatever reason is a mystery to me. And I don't think it's a copyright issue because look at YouTube, they violating copyright every day. I don't think copyright's it, but I don't know what the issue was or what prevented them. But now we've got Blab, Periscope, and all the rest of it. I think Blab's the biggest competitor to Hangouts because it's more than one person in a discussion in a room together discussing a topic, which is always good fun. So, good luck to them. But I think they could have saved Google Plus by doing something like Hangouts on Air on mobile 2 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely spot on there, mate. Definitely. I agree with that one. Any other views, Vincent, on the stories, mate?
No, but just keen to get into some discussion about the event.
Yeah, same. Can't wait. let's go to Jacob. Any views on the stories, mate, real quick, because we need to move on to the Apple event.
Well, if we need to rush on, what I'll talk about is about the Xbox One.
Go ahead, mate.
I've tried it.
You've got it, because you got an Xbox One.
Yeah, but I looked on... there's one talking about the game DVR, extending it. Originally, it was only 30 seconds. Now you can extend it all the way up to 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And the Twitch. I need someone else on my.
Don't worry about that. I'll be testing that out, mate. What else, Jacob?
And the Google, the YouTube Connect. I would try that.
Yeah, pretty good, I reckon, to have that.
Yeah, then you could probably see outside my house.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just inside.
Yeah, not inside.
Yeah, and the Siri, I've seen the ad. It's pretty good.
Yeah, do you use that Siri function on your Apple TV?
Yes, I do.
I use mine all the time. I love it, especially with Apple Music and stuff. I love it.
Sometimes I cuss her out. Sometimes she's like, tisk, tisk, tisk.
All right, anything else, Jacob, you want to say, mate, before we move on to Paul?
Well... I stumbled across the apps from Google that they just released.
Right.
That originally would cost $140.
Right.
It's like photo editing software.
Okay. And this is for the Mac and the Windows.
Yes, sir.
All right, you can download it free from Google. So check it out if you want some new photo editing software. I'll
give the link to Daryl so he can get it. And it's called the Neek Connect Collection.
There you go. Vincent, you may want some new photo editing software, mate.
No, good one. I'll check out the Tech Webcast website for the link later on.
Check it out.
To the show notes of Daryl.
I'm not sure why Jacob didn't put it in there. If you were going to talk about it, mate, you should have put it into the show notes before you...
After the fact, but I got it down.
Okay. All right, good stuff, mate. Thanks, Jacob, for the information. Let's go to Paul. What's your views on them stories, Paul?
Yeah, the Siri thing, I can never really get Siri to work very well on my Apple TV. Really? Doesn't seem to... Well, the commands, it either says, I don't understand you, or something around those lines. But Siri works perfectly fine on iOS and all that sort of stuff for me, so I have no idea why it happens. But anyway.
What sort of things were you asking it on the Apple TV?
Well, trying out those commands, rewind 10 seconds or something
that
like
that. That works great for me. Have you got Apple Music?
Yeah, I've got Apple Music. I do it for movies, though. I do it in movies or TV shows. Okay. I go literally, what did she say? And it says, we can't find movies for what did you say? What I'm going, what? I wasn't looking for a movie that was for that, but anyway. It was just weird how it just didn't respond.
So were you actually asking for the actual movie of the name or the actor or?
No, I'm doing what the command says. Basically, an actor says something, and then I say, "What did she say?" And then it says, "We don't have any movies of what did she say?"
Interesting. Shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, it shouldn't be doing that at all. But
why are you playing a movie? You're saying, "Oh, you said that command, and it didn't work."
Well, then it goes searches for a movie that says, "What did she say?" And I'm going, "What?"
That's crazy. All right. What else? Anything else? Oh, you want to mention, mate?
Oh, yeah, the Google thing with the YouTube, that's actually something I think a lot of YouTubers are really wanting, and it will take YouTube to the next level in terms of you can actually report live if you're a vlogger or anything like that. So anything that's a live event or anything like that, that's something that YouTube really needed on a mobile device as opposed to just having it on a computer. So that's something they really, really needed. yep. To have, especially on YouTube as a platform. Now, there are other platforms like Periscope and that type of stuff, but still, on YouTube, it's one of the biggest platforms out there for content. So to have that live feature on a mobile is something that's really highly requested, let's put it that way. And they really need to get that out there really quickly.
Definitely. They're very far. They're very not – they're behind in the app market, aren't they? They're very behind.
Yeah, they're not really doing so well in terms of getting their apps for YouTube and support like that.
Interesting. Okay, so anything else, Paul?
No, that's pretty much it. I don't really have an Xbox, so it's I don't really have a comment on that one.
Okay. What else is there? Let's go to Steve.
Oh, hey, I didn't. I do have one response with the YouTube Connect, and actually, I was doing it during the show because they actually YouTube's actually got a couple of apps. One's made for just watching YouTube content. The other one's actually for content creators, which is called Studio. I guess YouTube Studio, so you can maintain in your channel and viewership and comments. I could have swore I thought I said a broadcast feature, but apparently I was wrong. So I was actually going through when we were doing the show to see if I could find it. Of course, they perhaps could have took it out since they have the new Kinect app out. But yeah, I couldn't find it, so I guess maybe it was never in there.
I remember seeing a broadcast button once in the Studio app. They must have taken it out in an update.
Oh, okay.
So that was a long time ago that I saw it. They might have been testing it, but who knows? I never actually tested it, so I don't really know.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
But I think I did see that broadcast button in there once, and then they took it out. So it's really weird.
Oh, yeah, that's startling news. I'm not crazy. All right. It's in there. Yeah, that's all I got, Brad.
Perhaps someone in Google put it in by mistake, you know, like, oops, we weren't meant to put that in there yet. And it got taken out.
Mistakes can be fun. Get new exciting. Is Brad down or...?
He's gone awfully quiet if he's not.
I know.
Yeah, he has.
Oh, perhaps he dropped out.
As far as comments in the news stories?
Yeah, so it looks like unless anyone else has got any other comments.
I haven't added my 2 cents yet.
Yeah, so, could you jump, jump right in there?
I shall. Okay, so Apple, a new ad. Yeah, really, you guys want me to buy an Apple TV 4 now? Jeez. All the stuff I have to buy to keep up with all the Apple's ads, it's putting a bit of a strain on the old pocket. But it looks cool. Looks really cool. And if it works as advertised, that'll be fantastic. The Xbox One system update. Backwards compatibility to Xbox 360 games is probably one of the most long-awaited features that gamers have been looking for. You know, you've spent hundreds of dollars on your game library, and now you've got an Xbox One that'll play your Xbox 360 stuff. I think we'll be seeing a few Xbox 360 consoles out on the second-hand market very shortly. And Google building YouTube Connect. I think this, it may be late, but when it comes to online video and online video streaming and production, people always think YouTube. They always go to YouTube first. So even though Google may be late to the game, I still think they have the clout and the market presence to still dominate and really probably give Periscope a good run for their money if the app is well designed and well received. So it's going to come down to the Google engineers to actually bring the noise.
And the resources too.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so it's got to be stable. It's got to hold up to a fair bit of punishment. It's got to have the features. But I still think that Google, YouTube, they've still got that market presence that they're going to need to really make this thing happen.
Yeah, but it will be interesting. It will be interesting to see if, as I thought they were late to the party. But, I mean, yeah, certainly if they do get it right and they've got that power of YouTube behind them, that you say everybody sort of jumps on, they could, you know, jump over the top of products like Periscope, or that might be the two products might coexist.
Yeah, they could coexist. Also, the Twitter integration is going to be interesting because that's a very powerful part of Periscope, how you can basically sort of weave the Twitter world that you have into Periscope and vice versa. That's a very powerful way of hooking people in and getting viewers. Not too sure how Google Plus is going to go as far as spreading the word goes.
I mean, that's where, you know, if they'd moved earlier on it, it might have helped resuscitate Google Plus, and Google Plus could have been another platform for them to promote it. But because they were slow out of the blocks, and Google Plus is, I mean, I still use it, but it's, you know, it's tended to have died. You're right. How do Google get the message out for when people are live streaming, and unless they can do a deal with Twitter? But I can't imagine that Twitter's going to allow them to.
Well, you never know, because they had all those years where they weren't allowed. You know, Google weren't allowed to index any of the tweets, and then they've renewed that deal like at the end of last year. So who knows what may be the future deals they could make, you know, between Twitter and Google. I think it's an interesting comparison with Periscope because, you know, had Google done this, say, a year ago when Google Plus was faltering and was, you know, still had a chance, you know, they could have used this to lift it up, and just as, you know, some have said, Periscope was a way to lift up Twitter, you know, and bring Twitter back into the fore.
Well, they were certainly talking in the early days that Google might buy Meerkat and just integrate it into, you know, make a live out of that. But of course, it never happened, and they're not even mentioning Meerkat at the moment. So that's a bit of a worry, I guess, if you're Meerkat sitting in the middle of a battle between sort of Twitter's Periscope and Google's Connect. You might be the one squashed.
Meerkat's already recently given up and said we're moving out of this game and moving, you know, our focus onto something else.
Yeah, it looks like there's winners and losers and everything. So,
yeah, it's a shame for Meerkat, but you know, Periscope and Twitter's deal is a big one.
Yes, you got two big organisations behind it, so it makes the little startup Meerkat sort of struggle in the middle. So is there any more discussions on I've got the frog in my throat, on the news stories, or shall we now move on to the Apple event that was recently held, and new iPads have been released, and a smaller iPhone has been released. So I throw it open to the to our august panel of guests here today to sort of chew the fat over the Apple event. Anyone want to jump in with something to say? So would anybody like to jump in and start the discussion on the new Apple event?
Let's go. Sure, let's go to Vincent.
Yeah, okay. I was, you know, I got lots of points to talk about, but I don't think we'll get time. But so just talk about the obvious things here. The new phone, you know, I've been – it's funny because I've never liked the new design of the iPhone 6, and I've always said, I love that old-fashioned design. They should bring that back in. And, in fact, recently I went looking for an iPhone, and I was specifically looking for an iPhone 5S, not because of the technological, capabilities of the phone, but just on pure design. I knew the capabilities of the 5S was enough for me to do whatever I needed to do. I've got an iPad and other stuff at home anyway, so I just wanted it for the phone. And, so I think it's a fantastic thing that they're bringing back that old design. And I think it being a little bit thicker is going to have a better battery life as well. So that's the other thing about going too thin. I think Apple's just gone crazy on the thinness lately. So I'm happy to see a slightly thicker one with probably a better battery life. It's got pretty much all of the latest iPhone crammed into this little thing. So I think it's fantastic. It's so cheap. It's probably the cheapest iPhone that's come out, I think. I don't know. I think it's a great move. The iPad, again, another return to an old form factor. We saw the big, large iPad Pro. Now they've decided that was too big, maybe, and that the iPad Pro Mini, or whatever they're calling it now, is back to just the standard iPad shape and size. So I thought that was interesting. iOS 9.3, which everyone can go and download if they haven't already. The latest news on that is that some of the older iPads, like iPad 2 and some of the older iPhones, were having some problems with that. So they're, I think they're denying the older devices the ability, or they're not prompting to install the latest iOS. But one of the new features with the new operating system is the day-night thing, night shift it's called. I love this feature, and I've been enjoying it over the past few days because I use a similar one on the Mac called Flux, and what it does is it changes the amount of blue light towards the end of the day. It reduces the blue light and increases the orange light, and so it mimics, we've evolved over millions of years to become what we are, and so our eyes are used to, our brain is used to seeing sort of orange light at the end of the day so that we can sleep better. So people who have trouble sleeping, probably from staring at, this bright white or blue light in their eyes at nighttime, are now looking at a more orange light if they're using this feature. And it's a good thing for encouraging sleep. So I think that's a great new feature. The other thing was notes locking, which I think is a little bit weird, because I think, why would you not just want to lock all of your notes? There's a bunch of other stuff, but I won't ramble on too much. I'll just say this thing. I just love the new, this is something that may have slipped by that people might not have noticed, but there's a new thing called Care Kit, and it's coming on the heels of Research Kit and Health Kit, and it's this whole health side, because Apple's always been into, accessibility features and people with disabilities being able to use their devices. And so they've moved into the realm of health, recently with the iWatch and so on, with the sensors on the back. And Brad, as the discussions we've had, I've been just so focused on the back of the watch, not the front, because I think this is where all the innovation is going to happen. And there's some great stuff happening there with the ability to detect epileptic seizures, which is done through galvanic skin detection. And that's a whole nother thing where you can we're verging on the ability to detect emotions. And just one other thing that I'll say about that is they're also doing stuff with a front-facing camera. Well, they're doing this on the iPad at the moment, where they can detect the facial recognition and the facial expressions and emotions through facial expressions, and change the feedback or change the program, the app, the interaction based on your facial feedback. So I think once that comes into the watch and you've got both the back of the watch with these fancy detectors that can detect emotions, as well as the front detecting facial emotions, I think we're verging into a fantastic new world of communicating in emotions. So anyway, that's my long review of the event.
All right, good stuff, Vincent. Yeah, I really enjoyed the Apple Event. I love the new app. The new products are great. New iPhone, new iPads, fantastic. What about the new watch bands, Vincent? What are you a fan of the? What are you on the new on that?
A little bit disappointed because I thought the event was called Loop for that very reason, that they had these new watch bands. And to be honest, I was expecting them to make use of that port, which, you know, I don't know if many people know about it, but there's this tiny little port where you take the watch band off. And they said it's for servicing, but I'm sure, and I've been saying for ages, that they're going to be making these fancy watch straps that have sensors in the bottom of the strap so that you can put them on the bottom of the wrist and detect, you know, even more stuff. But they didn't do that. They were just normal bands. But, yeah, so I'm looking forward to the maybe the next set of bands that they release, which have you know, the ability to plug into the watch and provide more functionality, not just sensors, but other functionality as well, perhaps.
All right, very cool, mate. Good, great opinions there, Vince, and good stuff, mate. Let's go.
Oh, but the other thing with the Apple Watch is it comes in at under $300 now.
Yeah, the watch drop down.
Yeah, so it's great, great advance there.
Yeah. Great stuff, mate. Let's go to Ben. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I watched the event. I don't know. I kind of enjoyed it. It really didn't have the same feel that we've had from the events of old. There wasn't that sort of mad hype of all the people going off their brains during the event. And I think it kind of showed in the products as well. So Apple seems to be taking a really conservative approach with this latest round of hardware. So they're going hard after the lower end of the market, the more price-sensitive part of the market, by dropping the prices on most of their products across the board. I don't know. It just feels like it's a different Apple that released these new products compared to the Apple under Steve Jobs. They seem to have lost their edge in my respect. I was actually really concerned about what Apple was going to release as soon as we had the Galaxy S7 drop and the S7 Edge, because these phones are amazing. And I was kind of expecting something like waterproofing to come out or some sort of answer to the Galaxy VR. Yeah, it kind of fell a little flat for me. I was hoping for more.
Oh, yeah, it only went for an hour, so they were quite on time as well.
Yeah, but having said that, the research kit and the care kit, I reckon these are probably the biggest pluses of the event. That was the part that really made me sit up and go, wow, the Apple's really stepping up in this regard. So, yeah, looking at the aging healthcare, the aging population and the need for better healthcare, I think Apple's addressed that really well. And also their environmental tilt was quite cool too, just meeting that robot that rips apart iPhones. Yeah, makes perfect sense. Yeah, it makes perfect sense to get a robot to do this, because with an iPhone or any other sort of product, everything's going to be in the same place over and over and over again. Who better to do that job than a robot?
That's it, mate. That's it. Spot on there. Anything else, Ben, you want to say?
No, that's about it for the moment.
That's about it. Okay, thanks, mate. Let's go to Jacob real quick. Jacob, what about you, mate? Any opinions or views or whatever?
Well, I could say one thing when I was watching. They're not going to be using that auditorium anymore. They're moving.
Exactly. To a new
spaceship.
That's it. To the spaceship.
No, when I look at the picture, it reminds me of a Stargate almost just laying on the ground.
Yeah, someone knocked it over.
Yeah. You probably don't want it facing downward, because it'll be blown a hole in the ground if it was a Stargate.
It's flush up in the air.
Yeah. And other things, why would you want an iPad Pro that's normal size? Stay with the bigger one. You would be losing all your size and stuff.
Well, that's for people that want to choose and they want a bigger size or a smaller one, whatever works for them, you know? It's their own.
And also, the new payment plans for the Apple, the new iPhone. You could pay them off weekly or monthly. What do you think about that?
I suppose it's something they had to go for eventually to compete with all the other telcos, because that's what they're doing. So I suppose it makes sense for Apple to try and step up and do it themselves.
What about you, Brad? You know, you've got one of these iPad Pros. And you've used the normal size iPad for a long time.
Yep.
How do you feel? Do you think there would be many people wanting to that feel that the iPad Pro is too big and they'd rather have a smaller one?
No, I as I said to Jacob, I think it's personally think it's each their own. It's their own, you know. But I've got the iPad Pro and I use mine for movies and stuff and TV and that sort of stuff. And I wouldn't go back to a smaller screen because I love the bigger screen, you know.
Mm. But do you find it's less portable or what do you reckon?
No, not at all. I very rarely take it outside or take it anywhere. It just sits in my desk here and I use it whenever I need it, you know. Works great. I love it, you know. I use it every day.
I've talked to a couple of graphics designs people and they're pretty stoked about the 9.7 inch iPad Pro. Because they do run around with it. So I suppose from a portability point of view, the 9.7 is going to be much better suited than the big old 12-inch.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Yeah, if you can, you know. So Vincent, what's your view on the iPad? Would you get an iPad Pro bigger screen or would you get the new one or would you...
Well, geez, the new one has so many more features that I don't think the old iPad... call it the old iPad Pro, the larger one.
Yeah.
Like the ambient light thing, to be honest, I already thought that I had that in my iPad Air.
Same, so did I, but...
Because it does change the lighting. What they're now doing, though, is changing the actual color. And you can see how that sort of ties in with that night shift technology.
Yep.
Where I said, I don't know if you've used it, Brad, have you tried it out?
I've tried it the other day, actually, on my iPhone.
And you know, there's that orange, yellowing or oranging sort of tinge to the screen. All the whites go sort of orange. Mm-hmm. You can see how that's being utilized in this new ambient light sensor so that when you are in a room that has sort of, you know, yellow lighting as opposed to bright white or blue lighting, to change the screen so that it behaves more or less like a piece of paper reflecting the surrounding light. I think that's brilliant. That's such a good idea. And it just seems so obvious.
Yeah, definitely. But, all right. Jacob, any other views made on the Apple event? What do you think of the new iPad and the iPhone SE?
Well, the iPhone SE, and I think what they were doing is they were trying to get rid of the 4, the iPhone 4, and replace it with the SE, but with have thing.
I think it's towards more... people that want to get an iPhone are new to Apple, you know, new to the iPhone.
Yeah, people are saying, oh, it's because people prefer a smaller screen. I think that's what Apple said. Oh, we've seen people want a smaller screen. I don't know about that. You know, maybe that people just want a cheaper phone.
I would never go back to a smaller screen. No way, no. Once you go big, I would never go back to a smaller screen. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, say one thing.
Yeah, go ahead, mate.
Well, how big was the iPod Touch? Is it about the same size?
I'm not sure. I think maybe. Yeah, I think so.
The iPod
Touch, yeah. Is it the same size as the iPhone, you reckon, Vincent? Or?
It's 4 inches, iPod Touch, 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, then everybody's just going to be carrying around a big iPod.
It also may be... related to, I mean, I think cost is playing on Apple's mind, and I think it's not so much costs for you and I, it's costs for people in China and India, the emerging markets. And I think that if they can put out an iPhone 4-inch, it's still the classic iPhone. It's still got all the features. It's still got all the things that make it Apple. It's just smaller. So by making it smaller, they can cut the costs on it, but still give people in those markets... you know, hey, you're getting a real Apple phone. You're not getting a knockoff. You're not getting anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think, they're looking at China and India very much, and they don't have the – most people there don't have the resources to pay the full price for, a 6, the iPhone 6s and all the rest of it. But they're giving them a great phone. It's just that it's slightly smaller.
Yeah, definitely.
There's two things that I think where it is lacking is it doesn't have Force Touch. And also the front-facing camera hasn't been upgraded. It's the same as the 5S.
Ah.
So that's a weird thing to stick with. But whatever the reason is, maybe it's space, who knows. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the only two things. Otherwise, I think it's, you know, fully up to spec with the latest.
All right, Jacob, anything else you want to say, Jacob, before we head to Daryl? Because every time I go to you, you come back to me and say you have more to say. So what do you want to say? Say it now.
Well, I like the Apple event. It's just I was kicked back watching it on my Apple TV, for say.
Good stuff, mate. Enjoy it. Good stuff, mate. Enjoy the Apple TV. Thanks, Jacob. Appreciate your advice on that. Let's go to Daryl. Daryl, what about you? Will you be getting the new iPad? Or?
I'm thinking about, I'll think about it. I mean, I think now, unless I've got it wrong, the new iPad Pro is has 2 gigs of RAM in it, whereas the current iPad Pro, the big baby, has 4. So it's going to be interesting to see once it's actually released and people get a chance to really play with it, whether that has any effect on performance, you know, like whether it makes it any. I mean,
depends on what you want to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing that before people rush out and say, well, I'm going to buy the smaller form factor, you'd have to be aware of what are you going to do on it because it doesn't have the grunt memory-wise than the big one. It may be because the big one's got the 12-inch screen, it needs 4 gigs in it to drive that. To drive that big screen. So it may be that there is no difference. It could even be that the smaller iPad is even faster than the bigger one. I think Apple's just realizing that, you know, in the old days they could say, well, this is the iPhone you're going to get and take it or leave it. We're only going to produce one size. This is the iPad you're going to get, take it or leave it. We're only going to produce one size. I just think, too, they've come to the realization that, well, look, you know, some people don't like these particular, so we're going to make a few extra sizes to cater for, you know, to cater for people. And I think, you know, obviously they must have done, you would presume they've done their market research before they put these ones out and said, well, what do people think if we had a smaller iPhone or a smaller iPad Pro? And they surely they've done their research and maybe that's come, people have come back to them and said, yes, it would be great if you did do that. As far as whether the low key, I think it's low key. I think if we're going to see anything really exciting from Apple, it will be when they release the iPhone 7 or whatever. I think this was more, if you like, an in between. It was like we've got some new hardware and everything, but this is not the earth shattering, you know, event that we normally have when we run around saying that we've produced the greatest thing since sliced bread. I think that it was more almost like a point, like when you have a point upgrade, a version upgrade, you have a point upgrade, which is like a bug fix. This is almost like something like that. Well, here we've got some new devices, but look, even we're not, you know, going to be jumping around telling you that they're the greatest things because they're just added on to the existing our existing suite of products. So don't get overexcited about it, but I'm sure you would presume that Apple in their back, you know, Johnny Ives is beavering away at the moment finalizing the iPhone 7 and whatever, and I think Moss Wattberg that does that, where he always mispronounce his name, that's from Recode, that's been an Apple fanboy for I think since Apple was founded, he's been saying, look, you know, he thinks Apple's iPhone 7 will be the one that will be another jump rather than an evolution. And he tends to have his feelers close to Apple because, of course, he never criticises Apple very much. So they tend to sort of throw him devices to test and everything like that. So, I thought it was good, but I wasn't expecting an all singing, all dancing Apple event. I was expecting just a minor, you know, this is what we've got. It's cool stuff, but hey, you know,
will we see a new iPad in your hands, Daryl? That's the question.
Some stage. I don't know exactly when. Budgets, you know, it's not what I want and what I can afford. It can be two different things sometimes, and they don't talk to each other. So it's just a matter of I would like a new iPad, and I would like to retire my iPad 3 and have it as a soundboard for unused Boss job and stuff on it.
They've stopped updating that.
No. I got 9.3 on the iPad 3 before they balked it, They stopped it. Now, I'm unsure because my mother's got an iPad Air and I tried to update her the other day and it kept telling me there was no internet connection when there was. And I'm thinking that's probably the way they stopped people updating on older devices until whatever they need to do to fix it. Because she kept tapping, she had 9.3 there, and every time I kept tapping on it to sort of start it to come up and say, you have no internet connection, try again later. Yeah. And I'm presuming that's because they can't actually pull the message back. I'm presuming that they're doing that to stop people updating until they sort out whatever the bug was that was bricking some
devices. It took me like 5 minutes to update mine the other day on Tuesday morning when they released it. It took me like 5 minutes at the max.
Yeah, I updated my iPhone 6 on that day, and it updated quick. And then the next day I just had the iPad sitting on its stand, and I just, I get tired of the message saying, do you want to update? And I just said, yeah, do it. And I went away, and it updated, and it's working fine. It's sluggish because it's an iPad 3, but it's still working fine.
So has anyone used Notes?
Yes, I have. I've used it on my iPhone. I've tested a Note on my iPhone and put a pin code on it and stuff. And
so what about the lock feature?
Oh, the lock feature. Yeah, I've used that. That works great, and that's a handy feature to have, I reckon.
It's interesting. So is it individual notes that you do, or can you just do the whole thing for notes?
Yeah. Anything. You can just write whatever you want in, and then there's an option to lock it, I think, isn't there, Vincent, or put a pin code or something?
Yeah, you can lock it. But I haven't actually got the feature on mine for some reason. I haven't been able to figure out why it's not.
Not in notes, in settings, go to settings and go to notes in settings and see if you might have to switch it on there.
Yeah, you do. You set a password in there first, and then you get the... It's a bit wonky, really. You have to tap on the share button in order to get the lock feature. So, way that they've implemented it is a bit dodgy, but... It just puzzled me why you would not want to just lock all of your notes. Why would you want to lock individual notes? And it implies that the rest of your notes that aren't locked are somehow insecure. And well, so I think it's like it's not necessary. It may not be a very good publicity thing.
I would
suggest to people that their current notes are insecure.
I would have just put the option to switch over and have the fingerprint reader to open your notes in general as an app. And then then you're secure. You just, if someone does tap on the Notes app, they've still got to have the fingerprint reader read it like you do with your banking apps and all that. I wouldn't have worried about individual. No, I wouldn't have gone to the individual notes level. I would have just said, well, this is a good way if you want to protect your whole Notes whole app, folder with all your notes in it, rather than going to individual levels. Or give people that option. If you want to go to individual levels, give them another option. But I would have been just happy with the fingerprint reader saying, "Please put your thumb on here before you get into notes."
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Paul and Steve real quick before we wrap up. Paul, what's your view on the Apple event and the new iPad? What's your view on the new iPad? I know you got the iPad Pro, and what do you reckon, mate?
The event was, it wasn't really the Apple event that I was expecting it to be. It was something that they should have really just press released and not actually do the whole event on. A lot of the stuff wasn't really groundbreaking, to be honest. It was just a load of the old stuff released and a lot of upgrades and that type of stuff. But this new Apple is turning... I don't know, every day is being as more innovative as Samsung is, which is not very innovative. They're doing what Samsung are doing now, essentially, releasing new products, and if no one likes it, they bring back the old products in a new casing.
Interesting.
They're doing what Samsung's doing now. It just doesn't seem very Apple-y anymore.
Paul, do you use your iPad a lot, mate?
Yeah, iPad's like my primary computing device for most things, unless I'm doing something intensive like coding or editing video and that type of stuff. I use my Mac for those type of stuff, but for everything else, the iPad's pretty much my go-to device. But especially for note-taking, I love actually writing notes. It's something that is... now very, very possible with the Apple Pencil. Before it was, you could do it with the Jot and all that sort of thing, but it wasn't really that very good because it's more of a drawing tool than a writing tool. But this, yeah, the Apple Pencil is definitely more of a writing tool to me, especially now with the iPad Pro. Having a smaller iPad Pro, yeah, it's okay, but, you know, I don't think I would go for that. The only thing probably...
I wouldn't go back to a smaller iPad. No way, no. I would never do that.
To me, like, the 12.9 inches is something that I really like, and, you know, going back to a 9.7 is not really something I would go for.
No, same.
Probably the only thing that annoyed me out of the iPad new release event was probably that they had a 256 gigabyte version. For me, I really like the space on an iPad because I do put a lot of content on there.
Do you take photos on your iPad, Paul?
Sorry?
Do you take photos on your iPad?
No,
you take photos. Because that's my next question. Why did they put a better camera in the newer iPad than the...
Well, I don't think people would do it with a 12-inch, but I do see people doing it with 9.7-inch.
Yeah, that's probably a good point too, yeah, because that's a smaller device.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And, yeah, 12.9 is heavier than the 9.7, even than the Air, so, you know, it's something that people like to do. Like, I even mentioned it in the event, essentially, that people like to take photos of their iPad. And you see a lot of people do it, like in multiple places, people would just hold up an iPad and take photos. So, yeah.
All right, mate.
Got something going on there.
Anything else you want to say, Paul, before I go to Steve?
Oh, yeah, the new iPhone SE. Yeah.
And what about the Apple Watch bands as well? Mention that as well.
Oh, yeah, sure. But the new iPhone, it just looks like a re-released, upgraded version of the iPhone 5 S. So it looks like they're just keeping the iPhone 5S alive in this case, except it's like a smaller iPhone 6 because it has everything the iPhone 6 has. So, yeah, I guess, you know, a lot of people might want that. I'm not saying it's something that people would disregard. So, yeah, if there's a need for it, Apple will release it. So, I guess the new straps, they're okay. I'm not really, excited about that.
I like the ones for $79. I might get one of them.
Okay.
I don't mind them. They're pretty cool.
New straps. Okay.
What are they called? Yeah.
Nylon straps, I think.
Nylon. Nylon. So that's good. All right, Paul. Thanks, mate. That's great opinion of the Apple event from you. Let's go to Steve.
Hey, well, as far as this event, it seems really their two biggest things was putting out two new devices, the iPhone SE and, of course, the smaller iPad as well, or excuse me, iPad Pro smaller. I do see a need to have a smaller iPhone again, and I actually done a lot of research because I was interested in how people are, you know, if they're more interested in larger screen phones like some of the Android or still a certain size phone, if people would, you know, want a smaller phone. And it was really hard to find any data on that. The little bit of scrap of data I did see seemed to favor screen size maxing out at 4.7, I think, so, or smaller device, maybe some of the larger screen devices.
Hard to separate from cost, though, isn't it? And again, and this one's not going to make it easier because this is now, what, $390, $99 or something? So again, it's really cheap. So people may be just over the cheap.
I kind of did factor in cost as well, but I think going to a smaller phone, it's going to be harder to – because people are now, you know, of course, now used to the larger screen phones. But then if for the people who want to get the smaller phone, it's going to – a perception that perhaps a smaller screen phone should be cheaper because you're getting a smaller screen phone. So I don't think people are going to see, you know, should we be paying the larger since, you know, like the 4.7, it costs more. Should we be paying the same price? So I think people are going to see harder reason to justify the same cost as perhaps with the larger screen device. And that's, of course, I do see perhaps also that certain countries where people are having a hard time buying a iPhone, perhaps like China and maybe even India, perhaps this would be a more viable solution for them as well. But I'm still a little mixed on that.
Well, how did the iPhone C go? Is that still alive? Do they still sell the C? Was it 5C?
C's gone now. That was replaced by this. Yeah.
They were hoping that was going to be catering for India and a lot of the other places that don't have as much money to spend on phones. They were thinking, yeah, and this is a way to get them onto iPhone. And so I guess that didn't really work.
Well, I thought plastic would sell. Apparently not.
Yeah, that was the bit that I thought was dodgy.
Okay.
All right, Steve, anything else, Steve, you want to mention, mate, before we up?
No, I think that was it.
That's it? Are you getting the new iPad, mate?
I mean, the one I currently use, I mean, it's kind of funny because I don't use it nearly as much, but I did recently break it out and recharge it. Of course, the charge was gone by then and start using it more since I have the baby. And then I can just take it in the living room and because I can't be at the computer as much with him. He's actually crying right now in the background. It's be nice. I can take a larger screen device and still have access to, you know, almost anything. But the iPad's enough for me.
I love the iPad. I use mine. Vincent, you use your iPad every day, mate? I use mine every day.
I use it. I was just thinking about this yesterday. I think I use it more than I use my iMac, which is surprising.
Hmm. That's cool. Good on you.
And it lives in a stand most of the time. I don't know how people use an iPad without a stand. It's fantastic. With my Bluetooth, with the Bluetooth keyboard connected, it's like a mini computer.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that people may not know about is because when the iPad Pro came out, there were some great new developments with iOS, and that is that when you do connect the Bluetooth keyboard, a lot of the keyboard shortcuts like Command Tab, which is a really useful one to switch through your programs, it works. You know, a lot of the other keyboard combos work. So that whole world of the Mac sort of opens up to you once you connect a keyboard to your iPad and popping it in a stand, you've just got the whole complete computer really then. So I take mine outside and I call it my outdoor office. And, yeah, I'm out there all the time on my iPad. It's great. Love it.
So, do you use Netflix and that's Vincent?
No, I don't, but I do watch, you know, ABC iView and SBS On Demand and a couple of others, a lot of YouTube.
Nice one. Yeah, good stuff. I use that as well. And also ABC iView is now on the Apple TV 4.
Yeah, good one.
Fantastic. Yeah, good to see. All right, and also, Paul, mention the Android app before we go, mate.
Yeah, the Android app is live. I think it's been live for about a week now. Pretty similar to the iPhone app in most cases, so you can do everything from live, Twitter stream, download the podcast, stream the podcast, that type of stuff. The only addition at this point, which will be in the iOS version at some point, is the Facebook stream in the Android version. So that's only in the Android version at the moment. So once I get it available in the iOS version, it will be good. And possibility of a Windows mobile version maybe coming out.
Soon. Oh, nice one, mate.
Just going to get my hands on a Windows mobile.
The Apple Watch.
The Apple Watch, that's still, I'm still looking at that and I'm still working on the update for iOS. So once I get everything called together, I'll have a iOS version ready. I'm still updating for 9.3 iOS, so there'll be a few delays obviously with that, but other than that, once I get everything together, there'll be a decent update for the iOS version.
Sounds good, mate.
Yeah, should be okay.
That's good. All right, Paul, thanks for being on, mate. Appreciate your time. Where can they get hold of you if they have any more questions for you?
You can get me on Twitter, obviously, at pcarry12. You can also get me on YouTube, which is PKTV, as well as you can download my iOS and Android app, PKTV. Various Google Plus. I think Google Plus, yeah. Still on Google Plus. I just don't use it anymore, but I'm still on there. But other than that, yeah, you can get me on all those types of medias. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, and Beam as well. You can get me on
Beam. Okay, good stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go to Vincent Brown. Good to have you on the show. Vincent, appreciate your time, mate. We can get hold of you if they have any questions for you, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. It's been fun. You can always find me on Twitter. In fact, I encourage everyone to go and have a look at my Twitter account. It's Easter, so there's lots of excellent fun happening there. And you can also find me on Snapchat and Anchor and Instagram and, you know, everywhere else, all as the same.
You are everywhere, mate. Good on you. Thanks, Vincent. Appreciate it, mate.
No worries. Like I said, it's been fun.
Check out his website too, Vincent. VincentVinturative.com.
Yeah. Well. Find it all. Everything's basically revolves around Twitter. So if you just go to Twitter, you'll find everything from there.
Definitely. Good stuff. Thanks, mate. Let's go to Daryl Hunt. Good to have you on, Daryl. Good to.
Oh, thanks, Brad. Yeah, good show. And so you can catch up with me on Twitter at LearnScape. Yes, I'm also one of the last on Google Plus. So we haven't shut the doors yet. There's Mike Olgan and a few of us still there. But so just type in Daryl Hunt, and I think it'll track. I don't think there's too many other Daryl Hunts on Google Plus, so you'll be able to track me down there.
All right, good stuff. You can get me on Twitter at Brad Ozzetech Webcast. Let's go to Ben. What about you, Ben?
Well, you can find me all over the web as well. You search for my business, which is Easy Wireless, and that is spelled EZI Wireless. The website ends in .net.au. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, all the other spots. You just search my name, Ben Aylett, and that's spelled AYLETT.
And there's also maybe a new intro coming soon too, Ben. You may be able to
maybe. Yeah, I might be able to put the pipes to work for you.
Sounds good, mate. Can't wait. Let's go to Jacob.
You can find me at jazzbot32669 onesie.
Did you enjoy your time on the podcast today, Jacob? Was it fun?
Yes, it was.
Did you get anything you wanted to say in the podcast?
It rocked and rolled.
All right, mate. Good on you. Steve, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter as Chatterbox_live.
Right, good stuff. Daryl, have I missed anyone, mate?
I think we've got anyone. Put your hands up if you haven't been called out yet. No, can't see any hands up.
No. All right, good stuff. Thanks, guys. Jacob, this is your last word. Go ahead. What do you want to say, mate? What?
That's it?
What did he say?
I think that's a word.
He's still shocked about when you said it's his last week. He's flabbergasted. He didn't get
it. Was last week. I said, this is the last. What do you want to say, Jacob?
He thought you said it was his last week, and he's looking for his pink slip, and he hasn't arrived yet.
No, it's not your last week, Jacob. What do you want to say, Jacob? Because he always says something funny at the end.
Wow, okay.
You
think?
You thought everybody has lost the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there a meaning to that? What does that mean?
I thought it was a private joke.
That's what I thought, too. Someone actually asked me the other day, what does it mean? And
that's a topic for another podcast, I think.
It is indeed. Thanks, guys. Thanks. Thanks, Jacob. Thanks, Daryl and Steve and Jacob and Paul and Vincent and Ben.
Cheers.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Cheers. Brett.
All right. Thank you.
See y'all.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Ha! Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha! Ha! Tech Webcast. Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!